Ready for today, ready to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. We had a good Sunday school class, and I know the youth had a good class, and we've ready to go this morning. We want to say we appreciate everyone helping and that put forth effort for Amberly and Blake yesterday. There was a lot of help from our church and a lot of participation from our church, and we appreciate it a whole lot. And had a good time, and we was laying in bed last night trying to go to sleep, and I don't know if Stephanie heard me, but I told her, I said, this was a little harder than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be fun getting rid of her, but I think when it come to me, I looked at Facebook last night before I went to sleep, and she had done changed her name that quick. Last name been Morgan for all her life, and then in the span of minutes, she done changed it. But I guess that's the way it goes. We thank the Lord for the time we had yesterday and for the fellowship, and it was just a good time. We have any prayer requests this morning before we get going? I know we have people that's having their family Thanksgiving today and different things, so remember them. I know a lot of people may be doing that after church, but a lot of that going on today. So remember them and pray for these families and the safety and as they travel different places. Do we have any others?
I remember the Snar family today.
Remember that. We've been requesting prayer from some of our friends, his dad, and he had been diagnosed with cancer, and he passed away Thursday. So remember that family. They live up in Dallas, Georgia. So remember them. Any others?
Sandy Grace is having surgery tomorrow.
Remember her. Any others? So remember those that's lost loved ones in this time of Thanksgiving season coming up. I know it's going to be hard on them. Just pray that they will be comforted. And Lord, I know he's going to be right beside them. But this is a tough time of year for a lot of people. Just continue to pray. Also, before we go into prayer, after we have our time of welcoming this morning, all of our youth will be bringing those shoe boxes. Today's our annual shoe box drive that where you send out our Christmas shoe boxes and they leave Heflin headed to wherever they're going to be. They go to Atlanta probably first or somewhere through there and then all sent out all over the world. But we're going to pray for them and pray over them this morning as we do here and pray that the Lord uses those boxes for what they're sent out to do and goes to that some child gets them and see that truly the love of God has for them through this. And as y'all know, we're the collection center for Cleburne County, I guess it is, and maybe a few other counties around, but definitely Cleburne County. Last year, we was able to collect 604 boxes that we sent off. This year, our church has already completed 109. We've done 105 last year, so we're ahead of schedule, and some people said they're going to fill a few this afternoon before they leave. So we're hoping to be about 120 at the time they leave. Really appreciate the efforts people's put into it, and it does make a difference. It's a mission work for our church and makes a difference to a lost and dying world. Anyone else before we pray? If not, we'll go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you've given us. Father, we thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for the day we had yesterday. Lord, we ask that you bless Blake and Amberly as they go forward in life, and God, that you use them for your honor and for your glory. God, we pray for the prayer request that's been made known here this morning. God, we pray that you just touch in each situation. Lord, as those that's having surgery, those that are traveling, whatever the situation may be, God, we pray your hand be upon them. Lord, we pray for our service this morning. God, we pray for Terry as he comes to bring the message that you just let him preach, Father, and that you touch his lips and everything he says will be to honor and glorify your name. And that, God, you that through his message that somebody's life this morning will be forever changed. And God, we thank you for the Bible we studied about in our Sunday school lesson and what it means to us to have the Word of God preserved and in English so we can understand it and we can read it and it can begin changing our hearts and lives. And God, this morning we pray for our singers. They come to sing. We pray that you touch them in a mighty way and that, God, that you'll just use this service for your honor and your glory. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Please stand and join us in our call to worship.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Say there'll be those who will call me a mistake. Well, that's okay, 'cause I hear a voice and he calls me redeemed. When others say I'll never be enough, and greater is the one living inside of me than he who is living in the world.
If all of our youth at this time would start bringing the boxes up. Are you still up here? All of them come. Y'all come on.
So you're part of the youth?
Yes. That's why I'm so small, why I'm fit in. I'm going to get up here where I can be seen. Look, Dalton's blocking me.
Funny jokes.
This is, we have fun doing this with our packing party and different things, but there's a great more meaning to this than just us doing this for our church. It's a commandment that God gives us in Matthew chapter 28. We're in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. It says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." We've got a command from Jesus himself to preach the gospel to every nation in the land, no matter where it's at, whether we like them, dislike them, whatever the case may be, we've got a command to go preach to them and tell them the good news of the gospel. And that's what these boxes are for. That's the reason Samaritan Purse set this up, to go and accomplish this great feat. And there's many children throughout the world that have come to know Christ through something as simple as a little stuffed animal or a pencil or whatever you put in that box. And not just that, but that's a lot of the only things they ever get. We are truly spoiled in our nation. These children are not. They don't receive a lot. And this is a little token of love from us. So I ask everyone, would youth, if you will, join hands. And we're going to pray for these boxes. And we just, the Lord touches them and uses them in a mighty way. The rest of the church, pray with us as we pray. Heavenly Father, we come at this time thanking you for what you've given us here. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be able to give back a little bit. And God, we ask that you take these boxes and that whatever child receives them, that your spirit begins working in their heart and that you bring about a life-changing experience through the Holy Ghost in these children. God, we know that you can save wheresoever you choose to and howsoever you choose. And God, we pray you do that. And Lord, we know that the word of God has to be gotten out to all nations. And Lord, we pray that you use this little church to accomplish something in your great kingdom. And Lord, I know you will. And Father, as we go about today and collect boxes from our county, Lord, I pray your blessing on each one, that each box that is sent out accomplishes what you have it to do. Lord, I ask you to bless the churches that took part in this. Lord, I pray that you just let them see they are making a difference. It's so easy to get thinking that what we're doing is in vain, but God, we know that it has much bigger reward than we can even see. And God, we ask you to bless all these children. Lord, let this be a learning experience in their lives of giving back to those that don't, and of getting the gospel message out to the ones who never hear it. And Lord, again, we thank you, and we ask you to be in the furtherance of our service. Lord, I ask you to bless Brother Terry as he comes to preach in a few minutes. And Lord, you just let us take your message and let it change us today. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Please stand and join us as we continue in song of praise.
Mountain. and every chain will break as broken hearts declare His praise. Who can stop the Lord Almighty?
For sure, every knee will bow before that lamb that was slain. We're thankful for that this morning. And as I knew I was going to have a crazy weekend coming up, I talked to Brother Terry, and he said he would preach for me this morning. And I'm so proud of that, to have somebody to fill in for me. And I was thinking about Brother Terry, how he's always so gracious to teach the word and preach the word for us. And Terry is an example that God can, you don't have to be a certain age for God to call you. Brother Terry, how long has it been since you called to preach now? About going on close to a year?
Yeah, it's been
a little over a year. And Terry wasn't I'm not trying to embarrass him, but he wasn't a young man as I was. And I thought I was old at 33. when the Lord called me to preach. But Brother Terry is a great Bible teacher. And, of course, you'll see he is God has blessed him with the knowledge to teach the words. Brother Terry, you come on and preach what the Lord's laid on your heart.
I always think before I get up here that, I don't really need my notes, but I always have them. Oh, it's a joy and a privilege to be able to speak the Word of God. Amen. There's nothing else that's any more important. There's nothing else that's any more thrilling and touches the heart of a true Christian than His Word.
Amen.
It's overwhelming. His Word, every bit of His Word, you can't pick out one that's more important than another. We try to, but it's all breathed by God.
Amen.
It was inspired by the Holy Spirit. It wasn't like He took a man's hand and just moved it the way He wanted it to. He breathed it into their hearts and into their minds, and they wrote it down the way it should have been written down. It was inspired.
Amen.
It's total and complete truth.
Amen.
Without any exception. It's all truth. So we're going to look at a scripture in the Old Testament and some scripture in the New Testament. Now this is the first thing we'll look at is the Aaronic benediction. I don't know if you've never been in a church that recited the Aaronic benediction in, you know, all the people got up and recited it. But it's in Numbers 6, 22, 27. And I'll just read. It's short. The Lord spoke to Moses. Now, a lot of people think of the Lord as always being God the Father in the Old Testament. That's not expressly true. All words that come from God is coming from the Holy Trinity.
Amen.
So the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel, and shall say to them." And before I read that, I'm just going to say that most people think of a benediction as happening at the end of a service. That's what we've adapted it to that. But if you look up the word benediction, which I did, it is not always used at the end of a service. It does not always mean that. It's a blessing to those who are hearing it that comes from the person who recites it. Or the whole congregation may recite it. So verse 24. The Lord bless you and keep you. Well, excuse me. Let me go back to 23. And the Lord, or 22. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron. He spoke to Moses. He told Moses to tell Aaron, said, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them. He told him exactly what to say. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Now those were words that were told to Aaron by Moses that came directly from the mouth of God for him to say to the people. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. That's a promise. Amen. It is a promise that God made to his chosen people, Israel. So now, when a person comes to know Christ right now, and every person that has come to know Christ since he was crucified, dead, buried, and was resurrected from the dead, we're God's chosen people.
Amen.
We become adopted as his people, just like the Israelites were chosen as his people. We actually were chosen as his people when we come to know Christ. And that's what this benediction was all about. It was a prayer that God saying and a promise that God would bless his people. And that's what we are.
Amen.
And we have no reason to believe that he is not going to bless us. We all go through things that are hard. We've all been through things that are hard. Death of a loved one. Sickness, long illnesses. We don't understand that. But we have to believe as a Christian that God is in control of all things. He knows all things. He allows things like that to happen to us because he's molding us into the kind of person that he wants us to be before we leave this world.
Amen.
And it's not, as they say, it's not always a bed of roses. It's not always. So it inspires in us a trust for God. If everything was all right and nothing ever went wrong and everything was like good all the time, how would we ever trust God? Well, we wouldn't. That's what it really amounts to. We need that touch that he allows sometimes that we don't like. We don't like it a bit.
Amen.
When we go through things like that. But we got to know and we must believe as Christians that he's with us all the time. That's what he says right here in that little bitty two verses, three verses maybe. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Now, that not only was a benediction, but it was his promise to his chosen people. So now we're going to go over and see how that applies by looking at what Jesus went through. Now, he's the only reason that we can claim to be one of God's people.
Amen.
It's through the shed blood of Jesus. Only through the shed blood of Jesus. There's no other way. These people back in the Old Testament, they looked for the Messiah to come. They were looking for him all the time. Those who truly belong to God, they looked for him. So we're going to read John 18 and 19 are the chapters. And we'll start with 18, 37, 38. That's Pilate's cynicism. This is at the end of Jesus' life, just before he was crucified, when he was turned over to his own people to be crucified. John 18, 37. Then Pilate's, and this is the cynicism of Pilate. Then Pilate said to him, "So you're a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am king. I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, what is true. That was the cynicism of Pilate. He asked Jesus what is true. And it was standing right before him. Amen. Pure, unadulterated, complete, and total truth.
Amen.
That's Jesus now, and it was Jesus then. He didn't deny it. He didn't deny being a king. He said, you say I'm a king. So 1838b through 40, exchanging Jesus for Barabbas. 1838b, let's see if I, here we go. Pilate said to him, what is true? He said, after he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, I find no guilt in him. But you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews? He was still being a cynic. They cried out again, not this man, but Barabbas. Now, Barabbas was a robber. He was more than that. He was a murderer. And one great example of Barabbas being a robber, he robbed Jesus of that place that he should have been in and turned loose. Because he was not guilty of anything. He had violated no laws of the Romans or the Jews for that matter. When he said he was God, he was telling the truth.
Amen.
But they didn't want to believe him, of course. Now, 19:1 through 5 is that Pilate presents Jesus to the crowd. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. That was a Roman custom. And let's just go into that just a little bit. What they flogged him with was several pieces of thick leather tied to a long rod, a wooden rod that wouldn't break. And on the ends of those leather straps, they fastened pieces of sharp bone and metal. And usually, they would strike somebody 39 times plus one. That's the way they put it. So 40 times. And those things were capable of tearing the skin and muscle out of the back of a person that they were scourged. And that's what they did to Jesus.
Amen.
They beat him. They beat him with that thing, and he deserved none of it.
Amen.
It's what we deserved.
Right.
He got what we deserved. He was scourged with that thing and beat down to where he almost couldn't get up. His back looked like ground hamburger meat. But he didn't. And we always talk about him. He could have called 10,000 legions of angels.
Amen.
And he could have at any time he wanted to. But he chose not to do it. He chose to take that for us. And he did. He took it for us. So 19:1-5 says, then Pilate took Jesus, flogged him, and the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, Hail, King of the Jews, and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, See, I'm bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no guilt in him. So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and purple robe. Pilate said to him, Behold the man. He presented Jesus to him. 19:6-11. This is the the source of Pilate's authority, the true source of Pilate's authority, is disclosed right in this verses 6 through 11. When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourself and crucify him." And of course, Pilate knew that they could not do that. They could, only the Romans could crucify people. The Jewish people could not do it. So they said, "Take him yourself and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die because he has made himself the Son of God." They were saying, "Look, we can't crucify him. You're going to have to do it." So he said, when Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. See, Pilate, he was a lot superstitious. All the Roman leaders were. They believed in all kind of gods being everywhere, but they did not believe in the true and living God. Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, Now this tells us who has the authority. This is where his authority came from. He says, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above." God Almighty has all authority. He has all authority now. He had it then. He's never lost his authority. He's never given it up. He never will give it up. He's been God since eternity past. And he will be God in the future eternity. That's not going to change. Nothing will ever change that. He's perfect. He's righteous. He's holy. He's all-knowing. He's always existed. Never been a time when there was not God.
Amen.
Now we see 19:12-16. Pilate sentences Jesus to death. So from then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar." This was the Jewish hierarchy talking to Pilate. So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and set him down on the judgment seat. And he sat down on the judgment seat, Caesar did, at a place called the Stone Pavement in an Aramaic Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour, which is noon. He said to the Jews, "Behold your king." They cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" Chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So he delivered him over to them to be crucified. That's when he gave the permission. You know, we have that feeling when we understand what Christ did to us. It brings a tremendous feeling of guilt sometimes on us, because we know it was done for us, for no other reason. There was Jesus enthroned with the Father, and he left that throne to die on a cruel cross and be crucified and shed his blood and die for us.
Amen.
for all who would accept him as Savior, Christ, and Lord. Why did he do that? Because of his intense love and his desire to save his people. That's why he did it. Now we read that benediction. And there's it's not in the Bible, but there's an opposite to that benediction. And that's what God did to Jesus, God the Father. Amen. And it would go something like this. Again, this is not in the scripture. It says, "The Lord curse and forsake you. The Lord turn his face away from you and condemn you. The Lord pour out his just wrath on you and give you hell." Now that's what God the Father did to Jesus. He turned his back on him. A man just like us who had never, ever committed any sin. He lived a perfect life. We can't even imagine that, really. Except we have the faith that Jesus did it. That's how we imagine it. We read the scriptures and we believe what they say. We know he was perfect. But that's the only way he could have lived and pleased God. But what happened to him? God turned his back on him and all the sins of the world was placed on him. So that's how he was forsaken by God. He was cursed by God. The Lord turned away from him. It turned dark. It turned like midnight. And he condemned him. Why did he condemn him? He condemned him for us.
Amen.
So that we could be saved. There was no other way. The Lord pour out his just wrath on you. He poured his wrath out on Jesus.
Amen.
Not us.
Right.
We won't get the wrath that we deserve. Why won't we get it? Because of the shed blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Any person who has asked him to come into their heart and have repented of their sins, then he comes in if they ask him.
Amen.
You can't just walk an aisle, or you can't just, "Father, I want to get saved." It's not like that. It's repentance. It's turning from your sin.
Exactly.
That's required. And when that happens, Jesus will come into your heart and you belong to him from then on. He suffered the unspeakable wrath of God on the cross for who? For you and for me. It's a wonderful, great thing to think about.
Amen.
In the respect that we have received that blessing. In another way, it was the most awful thing that could ever happen to a person.
Right.
And it happened to Jesus, but he took it for us.
Right.
And so we can never, ever say, no person could ever say they deserve heaven.
That's right.
They deserve being in the presence of God, because we don't deserve it.
Amen.
Never have observed it. Never will deserve it, except for that shed blood of Jesus.
Amen.
That's how we deserve it. We ask him for it. He gives it. On Calvary, Jesus secured for us the Father's gracious benediction.
Amen.
By suffering God's holy malediction. He suffered the opposite of that benediction prayer that we read at the first. God did not smile on him. He turned his face away from him. And he died on that cross. Not from the beating, not from being hung on the cross, not from being scourged or anything. He died from the sins that were placed on him. Our sins. My sin. I know, old Terry. I know what I actually deserve.
Amen.
But for the shed blood of Christ, I don't get what I deserve.
Amen.
We are blessed because Jesus was cursed. Let us look at what happened to him. Let us think about what happened to him. Let us think about it often. And know that it's only through him that we can receive salvation and be assured of being in his presence when we leave this world. That's what we want. When Jesus hung on the cross, beaten and torn by the Roman soldiers, abandoned by his friends, mocked by the religious leaders, with the weight of our wretched sins upon his shoulders, he experienced the very opposite of that benediction. That's what he did for us. And we ought to praise his great name for that.
Amen.
Because that's our only way to salvation. Well, thank you all very much for listening. I do appreciate it. I don't really know how long that took, but that's all I have. And thank you all very much for being so attentive. And I praise God for this time that he gave me to speak that.
Appreciate it, dear.
Thank you.
If everyone would please stand.